This is Leon Pearson with Ben Grauer in the General Assembly Hall at the United Nations, expecting momentarily the arrival of Secretary of State Dulles. I should guess that it is the slight tardiness of our Secretary of State, who is coming up from Washington, which has caused the delay, now actually half an hour, in the pounding of the gavel to bring this session to order. You were saying, Ben, a moment ago, that something about the translation, and it occurs to me that we could add this for our listeners on NBC, who will shortly be hearing the voices of the various interpreters when the speaker is not speaking in English, the voices of the various interpreters bringing the sense, the text of their remarks in English across our radio. Sometimes that voice will be a female voice, because there are women working as interpreters in the United Nations. And that voice, that female voice, in most cases, because there are very few women delegates or very few who will address the assembly, that voice will be translating the remarks of a man. A slight contradiction there. You might have a very husky, husky-voiced male delegate from Brazil, for example, whose remarks would be brought from the Portuguese or Spanish into English by the delicate voice of a woman. Ben?
Just wonder if we could review the situation again, because it is a little knotty. Leon, while we're waiting for, as you say, Mr. Dulles, Ambassador Lodge, the U.S. delegation, and other delegates to be seated before the gavel falls and Dr. Ortega of Chile calls this extraordinary special emergency session, first in history, of the U.N. to order. The United States opposed, rather insisted upon, the Assembly having a chance to debate the resolution which the veto of England and France killed, was it Tuesday night, I believe?
Yes.
Our allies in the Western Alliances and the NATO, England and France, vetoed the resolution, but apparently might have been willing to have the Assembly debate a resolution which merely called for Israel and Egypt to halt and cease their hostilities, but the enlarged United States resolution of Tuesday night, which will probably be debated and discussed here, or those positions taken, goes further than that. It not only calls upon Egypt and Israel to withdraw their troops and cease hostilities, but calls upon all other UN members to refrain from the threat or use of force in the Middle East and to end military aid and economic aid to Israel until it complies with that pullback order. This call to all UN members to so comply would, of course, draw the teeth of any thought of legality on the actions of England and France, whose troops are currently, by their own declaration, in the Egyptian fighting area by naval forces and aerial attack. Ah, there is some action now. We have up on the rostrum has just appeared Dag Hammarskjöld, Secretary General of the United Nations, and his executive aide, Assistant Secretary General Andrew Cordier.
And whenever the photographers are leaving the floor, Ben, that means business. They are barred, they are admitted to the floor only for the first period until the gavel is about to fall, and when the president is ready to call the meeting to order, they are asked to withdraw. They have now withdrawn, and Mr. Hammarskjöld is calling the meeting to order. We go now to the floor.
With your permission, I would like to draw your attention to Rule 65 of the Rules of Procedure of the General Assembly, which provides that the President and Vice Presidents for an emergency special session shall be, respectively, the chairman of those delegations from which were elected the President and Vice Presidents of the previous session. In accordance with the provisions of this rule, I have the honor to invite the chairman of the delegation of Chile, His Excellency Ambassador Lucinda Ortega, to occupy the chair of the President in order that he might, in that capacity, declare open the first emergency special session of the General Assembly. Call upon Ambassador Ortega.
Well, this action can be very simply explained. Mr. Ortega represents Chile, which was in the chair by a popular election during the last session, which closed at the end of last year. And Mr. Hammarskjöld has indicated that he considers this session a continuation of that, rather than a part of the new General Assembly, which was to begin on the 12th of November. So he has invited the representative of Chile, Ambassador Ortega, to take the floor. He has now come to the rostrum, taken his seat, and is about to speak. We go again to the floor.
Declaro abierto. I declare open the first emergency special session of the General Assembly. In accordance with Rule 64 of the Rules of Procedure, I invite you to observe a minute of silent prayer or meditation.
Señores delegados,
fellow delegates, Mr. Secretary General, these are not only hours of suspense and anxiety which beset all mankind. These are times of tribulation. These are dramatic times. In the Middle East, peace has been disturbed, and the first attempts to restore peace have already failed. The eyes of the world turn anxiously towards the United Nations, and the heavy responsibility for giving effective meaning to the necessary efforts to settle this international conflict must be taken up by us. We must find a solution to the problems which have given rise to this acute situation, and we must endeavor to reconcile the points of view which are at present in conflict. There still exists this possibility, and the United Nations and each and every member of the United Nations must assume a very serious and history-making responsibility in giving an affirmative and positive answer to the anxious question put before us by all mankind. It is to study all aspects of this problem that the first emergency special session of the General Assembly has been convened. And as head of the Chilean delegation, it is our honor to call this session to order at this time. May I, in my capacity as representative of a peace-loving state and one devoted to conciliatory procedures, speak from this high rostrum and express the hope that all delegates may bring their heart and mind to bear upon this problem so that we may find a happy solution which will settle this situation, bearing in mind the respect which we all owe to the principles and provisions of the Charter. Thus we may make use of all those who have offered cooperation and overcome the obstacles which so far have impeded us in our search for peace. We are fully alive to the fact that in discharging our functions...
We interrupt for a moment the remarks of Ambassador Ortega, who is the president of this session of the General Assembly, to make an announcement. The National Broadcasting Company has offered to Adlai Stevenson 15 minutes of radio time. Mr. Stevenson has accepted, and he will speak between 7 and 7:15 this evening, Eastern Standard Time. That's the end of that announcement. We return now to the remarks of Ambassador Ortega, the President of the General Assembly of the United Nations.
May be the sound and noble purpose inspiring the steps which may be taken by this special assembly and any resolution which may be passed by it. Our words are also words of cordial and friendly welcome to all members of this assembly. Before we proceed with the first item on our agenda, I venture to call the attention of the Assembly to a note of the Secretary General in document A-3213, entitled Convocation of the First Emergency Special Session of the General Assembly. This note embodies the resolution approved by the Security Council at its 751st meeting held on October 31, 1956, at which time the Council decided to call an emergency special session of the General Assembly as provided in the General Assembly's Resolution 377 entitled Uniting for Peace. Moreover, the note of the Secretary General confirms the telegram which was sent last night to all members, notifying them that the special session would be convened at United Nations headquarters on November 1st, 1956 at 5 p.m. In connection with the reference made to Resolution 377, I feel that I must inform members of the Assembly that the Secretary General has received a large number of communications from various governments seconding the proposed convening of an emergency special session. These communications are being printed and are being circulated as documents of the General Assembly. We proceed now with the appointment of a Credentials Committee, and I wish to refer to Rule 28 of the Rules of Procedure, which states that a Credentials Committee shall be appointed at the beginning of each session. It shall consist of 9 members who shall be appointed by the General Assembly on the proposal of the President. In accordance with the spirit of the Rules of Procedure, it would be, I consider, advisable to suggest that the Credentials Committee for this special emergency session should have the same membership as the Credentials Committee elected for the 10th session of the General Assembly. If there are no objections
to this. The President of the Assembly, Mr. Ortega, is engaged in a procedural matter now, the appointment of a Credentials Committee, and this matter will soon be concluded and we'll have our first speaker. It's worth noticing at this moment, however, that the American delegate has finally appeared on the scene. Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge came in, accompanied by one of his aides. He was seated about 2 minutes ago, and now I look over at the United States delegation. I see that Mr. Lodge has disappeared. He undoubtedly has scurried across the floor for a conference with one of his colleagues here at the United Nations. Now back to the floor.
The suggestion is adopted. I must add that the Secretary General, in the telegram I mentioned earlier, referred to the fact that the credentials of delegates who are not as yet authorized to represent their countries in the Secretary General will be extended under the terms of Rule 27 of the General Assembly, and that these credentials can be submitted by cablegram.
At the moment, a conference is taking place between Ambassador Ortega, who is the President of the General Assembly, and Mr. Andrew Cordier, Assistant Secretary General, as to the next move in this procedural situation. We go back now to the floor for a moment to see if it has been untangled.
In this connection, I would like to point out that Rule 16 of our rules reads in part as follows. The provisional agenda of a special session shall be communicated to the members of the United Nations simultaneously with the summoning of the session. This provision was fulfilled in the telegram sent last night by the Secretary General to all members of the United Nations. In relation with the approval of the agenda, I must also call the attention of members to the provisions of Rule 65 of our rules, which read as follows. notwithstanding the provisions of any other rule, and unless the General Assembly decides otherwise, the Assembly, in case of an emergency special session, shall convene in plenary session only and proceed directly to consider the item proposed for consideration in the request for the holding of the session without previous reference to the General Committee or to any other committee. Unless there is any objection on the part of any representative, I shall consider that the General Assembly has decided to meet only in an emergency special session and that it will consequently take up directly the item which is at present before it.
The purpose of the remarks just made by the President was to make clear that the General Assembly will occupy itself solely with this question, that is to say, the aggression in Egypt, and will not go into any other questions that might be hanging over. The President has now called upon the delegate of France, who was not incidentally listed as the first speaker, but now is proceeding to speak. He is Ambassador Girango of France. To the floor.
The representative of France. Mr. President, I would like to know precisely what is the question submitted to the Assembly. In the Security Council, over which I presided yesterday, I asked the same question of the Honorable Representative of Yugoslavia. He answered that his draft resolution was clear. But it is precisely because it was not that I asked that question. Mr. Large, the Representative of the United States, was kind enough to answer my question in the following terms. He said that it is the draft resolution of the United States which will be discussed, and this will cover all requirements of the situation. As President, I then took note of the statement of the Representative of the United States in the Security Council. The Assembly is therefore apprised now of the United States draft resolution. It is, in fact, quite impossible for the letter of the representative of Egypt of 30th October, document S3712, that should be dealt with here. The resolution uniting for peace specifies that a special session of the Assembly is convened in any case where there appears to be a threat to the peace, breach of the peace, or act of aggression, and where, because of lack of unanimity of the permanent members, the Security Council has failed to exercise this primary responsibility. Now, in the debate on the Egyptian complaint, no draft resolution whatever was presented. Consequently, no vote was taken. Therefore, there was no lack of unanimity on the part of the permanent members manifested. Therefore, the Security Council could not legitimately seize the General Assembly of the Egyptian complaint. As for the letter of the United States of America, it was clearly within the framework of Chapter 6 rather than Chapter 7. There again, there was no warrant for apprising the General Assembly of this matter. And whether or not Chapter 7 is involved, the second condition in the resolution uniting for peace is not fulfilled. On behalf of my government, therefore, I enter complete reservations as to the legality of the convening of the present emergency special session of the General Assembly and as to the validity of any resolution that may be adopted at this session.
We're probably seeing now, or hearing now, the result of that conference between Sir Pearson Dixon of England and the French leader, Girango. He has raised a technical question as to, you might say, the legality of the matter of which the General Assembly is seized, as to whether the Yugoslav resolution, which led to this emergency session, or the American resolution of 1950, which has been called to buttress the Yugoslav resolution, the resolution uniting for peace, whether both of these are valid to be on the agenda and entertained by the General Assembly at this time.
May I take it, Ben? In this brief pause between the calling for various speakers, it is now apparent that the list which had been previously prepared has been changed somewhat, but it is also apparent that the following speakers intend to come before the General Assembly in one order or another. We've already been told that the Egyptian delegate wants to be heard, and, as might be expected, the United States delegate wants to be heard, and the United Kingdom delegate, and after that we have the names of some powers of somewhat lesser importance, Ceylon, China, Philippines, Jordan. Incidentally, Jordan is attending this session for the first time, a new member of the United Nations. Colombia, Syria, Libya, here again is a new member of the United Nations. Yugoslavia, I'm now reading a list of intended speakers. Incidentally, as you know, the Yugoslav delegation was the delegation which introduced into the Security Council the resolution, the passage of which brought into action the General Assembly, which we are now listening to. El Salvador, Italy, also a new member, the USSR, and India. And also, I might add that we are expecting Mr. Dulles at any time. At the present moment, a vote is going on, and I see the hands raised. Ben Grauer?
Yes, a natural sequel to the remarks of Monsieur de Guirangot opposing the inclusion on the agenda at this time of this one single item, the item passed over from the Security Council of yesterday, which is the Arab-Egypt hostility situation, if we can use that loose phrase to describe a situation which everyone knows about. Mr. Ortega, the president, asked if anyone else wished to speak on this question of including this on the agenda or the advisability or regularity of such procedure. No one other than France asked for the floor. He said, I will now put it to a vote, and he is so doing. The vote is being recorded by Andrew Cordier, the Secretary General, the Assistant Secretary General. Here's the result.
Opposed.
I beg your pardon. This is all those opposed now. First we had those in favor. Now the noes are being tallied. The ayes in favor were just tallied. We have no way of knowing. I'm trying to look around the floor and tell from raised hands who's opposed. I see France is opposed. Can you see if United Kingdom is opposed by the hand held up? Yes, they are. And now they're asking for the abstentions. I see a few hands held up. Yes, quite a number here. Turkey is abstaining. Due to the angle, it's impossible in many cases to read the nameplates. That is Poland abstaining. Is Russia abstaining? If Poland is, Russia is not abstaining.
It's an interesting divergence, Ben.
If we see more of it after the events of last week.
Quite.
There's an abstention from the Union of South Africa.
Two in favor, two opposed, and seven abstentions. The agenda for this special session is therefore adopted.
You heard the result, and as we told you, the only two opposed were England and France. There were seven abstentions. It's impossible to get them all. We told you to Poland and Union of South Africa.
Is the representative of Egypt. Tiene la palabra. I recognize the delegate of Egypt.
The president has called upon the delegate of Egypt, who is Mr. Omar Lutfi, the permanent delegate and ambassador from Egypt. He is now taking the floor.
Egypt. Mr. President, I sincerely thank the members of the Security Council who yesterday voted in favor of the draft resolution presented by the distinguished representative of Yugoslavia, and likewise the member states which were kind enough to advise the Secretary General that they supported that resolution and who today voted in favor of the inclusion of this matter in the agenda. they have given me the opportunity to address the General Assembly, this world forum, in the cruel ordeal through which my country is now passing. You are fully alive to the question, I'm sure, gentlemen. I shall be brief. As I told the Security Council, this is not the time for orations. My country has been subjected to bloody aggression. The shedding of blood, which is the consequence of aggression, is proceeding apace. During the night of October 30th, Israel committed the most heinous, unprovoked armed aggression since the conclusion of the armistice agreements. This was no mere reprisal raid. It was a premeditated, carefully prepared armed attack whose purpose it is to occupy part of Egyptian territory so as to provoke war in this part of the world. During the day of October 30th, 1956, a note from the United Kingdom government was handed to the Egyptian ambassador to London. An ultimatum was served upon the Egyptian government, asking it to cease all hostilities on land, by sea and air, to withdraw all Egyptian armed forces 10 miles from the Suez Canal, to accept the occupation of part of Egyptian territory by French and British armed forces, especially the towns of Ismailia, Port Said, and Suez. The ultimatum required an answer before 6:30 Cairo time on 31st of October, in the absence of which the governments of the United Kingdom and France would intervene to the extent which they would judge necessary in order to obtain satisfaction of their demands. Since that time, Anglo-French aviation, based on Cyprus against the will of the inhabitants of that island, has bombarded Egypt. A number of raids took place yesterday, especially against the city of Cairo. According to information at my disposal, the three raids carried out yesterday by British and French jet bombers at 7 o'clock, 8:25, and 10:25 covered a mosque, the Al-Mazar Hospital, a number of Cairo airfields, and the number of points near Shubra. 9 human lives were lost. Throughout last night, British and French bombers carried out continuous raids over all Egyptian airfields. French aviation joined with Israeli aircraft in their attacks against Egyptian positions in the Sinai Peninsula. Today, 21 air raids took place against Cairo. No, 21 over Egypt, of which 9 in Cairo and the remainder in Ismailia, Port Said, and Suez. Installations at Al-Muntazah near Alexandria were destroyed, and the number of victims is not yet known. Moreover, the commander-in-chief of the Franco-British forces attacking Egypt declared today in Nicosia, Cyprus, and I apologize for citing him in English.
Israel bombing will continue until Egypt sees reason. Length of the operation depends on how quickly Egypt accepts our terms. The sooner Egypt sees reason, the less damage will occur. We have considerable strength to deal severe blows. Fin de la citation.
End of quotation. This cynical communique calls for no further comment. Mr. President, Egypt has been subjected to combined aggression, premeditated aggression by Israel, the United Kingdom, and France. It is now abundantly clear that the aggressors agreed in advance to perpetrate this act of war. To justify the armed aggression which they have committed, the governments of the United Kingdom and France have presented motives which I find difficult fairly to describe. Sir Pearson Dixon said yesterday that he regretted that Egypt had rejected the Anglo-French ultimatum. I am astonished to hear the representative of the United Kingdom say that he...
This is Leon Pearson with Ben Grauer at the United Nations General Assembly. We've